That's it for the treasurer's report. So tonight, if you haven't noticed, we got a real special guest. This guy has been, he's got over a year's worth of sobriety, and he came in mostly during COVID, did a lot of Zoom meetings. That's where I first met him, was on the Zoom meetings early on in COVID. And it's been pretty cool to watch him from, you know, pretty much day one to where he's at right now. He is from Tule River Reservation. I got it right. Woo-hoo. And he's got a fantastic story. Guys, give it up for our very own Oren.
Hello, everybody. Oren, alcoholic addict.
Hi, Oren.
First, I just want to take the time to thank my creator for another day of sobriety, man. I definitely cannot be on this journey without him. You know, he's my guide, and I follow him willingly today. You know, I say today because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, like I have to deal with today. I'm in today, so I keep it to today. You know, with that being said, I see some old-timers here, and my elders, I the way I like to say it, in you know, and I'd like to take the time to apologize for speaking in front of my elders, you know, because it's in my traditions from my homeland there. Anytime I speak in front of anybody older than me, I have to ask for permission. Being that I've been asked to speak, so I just like to apologize for speaking in front of you, because it's you that came before me, not the opposite way around. And this is something that I get to do today. You know, these are things that I get to do in sobriety. You know, by practicing the principles and the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm able to practice my own traditions, my own beliefs. You know, and that's one of the blessings of this program. You know, I got a sobriety date of February 5th of 2021. And again, for that, my creator gets all the credit, you know. You know, that was the day I checked myself into Pine. You know, I wasn't back there in that detox room. I like to say it was the worst, best 6 days of my life. You know, it helped me get through those physical cravings, and I finally hit my knees. I finally surrendered to something that was greater than myself. I finally came to the conclusion that any life ran on my own will was definitely not a life worth living, and the Big Book outlines that. You know, and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that. You know, I'm going to give you a little brief history on my journey, you know, before I got to sobriety. I don't really get too much into a drunkalogue. You know, we all have those stories, and I don't like to get caught up in them, you know. But I will tell you that I took my first drink probably around 9 years old. You know, I don't remember drinking after that. I just remember that first can of Old Milwaukee's Best that had me black out, you know. And I woke up hogtied. You know, apparently I tried to stab one of my cousins up, you know, when I was at 9 years old, you know, off a can of beer. You know, maybe that was my creator's way early on of telling me there might be a problem if you continue down this road. But, you know, I'm a knucklehead, right? I had to learn the hard way, you know. So and then I came on the journey of just living life, man, as a young age, you know. And I didn't really realize how big of an impact this had. You know, until I got into recovery and I started journaling and I started writing about my life. I started writing about these resentments that I had. And this is, you know, I come here and I speak my truth. You know, and my truth is my truth. It doesn't reflect literally on the program, but it's my truth, you know. And I will put it in context of what AA has helped me learn. But the reason I say that is because, you know, I came in here full of pride. You know, and with that pride comes ego. You know, that my pride feeds my ego. And today, I get to put that aside. I don't swallow it today. I set it to the side. And I do my best to smash it. You know, because if I continue on that road, you know, like, I already know where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to another bottle in my hand. You know, so at an early age, man, at 7 years old, I was molested by a neighbor. You know, and this is something I have to say because it's part of my story. You know, this led me down a road of definitely covering up my feelings, not dealing with my feelings. You know, this happened at an early age, like I said, 7 years old, and I got away. You know, I got away before it got too crazy. You know, I mean, but it was still, you know, that having my clothes ripped off me and all that was pretty crazy, man. And I never realized how much I suppressed these feelings and these thoughts until I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because Alcoholics Anonymous tells me I need to get to the cause and root of all these problems that I had built up inside me. I need to get honest. If I'm not able to get honest with everybody, I need to get honest with somebody. You know, and that honesty has to come. I have to get honest with my Creator, man. In order for me to be up here and tell you my truth, I need to be okay with it. Regardless of how uncomfortable it makes me feel, because I'm a man, that stuff don't happen to men. You know, that's the way I was raised. You know, this isn't something I like to tell people, but you know what? If it's going to help somebody, I'm willing to share it. Because these are the things that I got to discover. These are the things that keep me drunk. These are the things that keep me running from life. You know, these are the things that hold me back from becoming the person that I was meant to be, not the alcoholic, drunk, and addict that I am when I was out there, you know? And my drinking and using probably started like maybe around, actually like really, really got into full swing probably around 12 years old, you know, when I picked up that first joint and continued to drink. You know, that started a drinking career, you know, a smoke led to a drink and then many other things. But at 13 years old, I ended up going to boot camp as a result of being drunk and high and breaking into a vending machine and didn't steal no money, but I stole all the snacks, right? Stole all the snacks, didn't take no money, man, and still got 9 months in boot camp for it, you know what I mean? And so I turned 14 while I was in boot camp there, got out and just in and out, smoking weed on probation, dirty tests and stuff like that. And I couldn't see the problem, you know? Like, I'm young, this is what I do, you know? This is what young people do, we get in trouble. Oh, well, it's not a big deal, you know? But I'm starting to see that connection. Every time I got in trouble, I was drunk, I was high. You know, alcohol and drugs were involved with it every single time, you know? And this ain't something I knew until I, you know, came into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and started working these 12 steps. You know, that's where I find my truth. And I continue with that, and you know, I got out on probation, and then eventually I kept getting in trouble. I got kicked out of California. I got sent to Arizona with my mom. You know, they told me they didn't want to see me back in California while I was a minor, you know, that I had to be over there for 5 years or whatever, and I ended up coming back, you know, and I went on another reservation down in Lemoore, and I got in trouble. You know, I ended up catching a charge of assault with a deadly weapon and a great bodily harm, and I ended up doing 5 years, 11 months. And again, there's a reason I say this. It's not bragging or boasting about where I'm just letting you know where alcohol and drugs took me. You know, I was 15 years old at a party full of grown-ups, and I got jumped, you know, and I picked up a weapon, I defended myself. Well, from that scenario, it caused me to get 5 years, 11 months in CYA. You know, and from CYA, I went up the scale a little bit and went to prison for about a year and a half. But all that is a direct result of me using and drinking, man. That's where it takes me. But again, I'm unable to see the truth, man, because for myself, until I was able to fully concede to my innermost self that I had a problem, I had to find out, like how, though, man? How do I got a problem? I'll tell you how crazy this disease is, man. In 2018, I shot myself an active drunk. On 4th of July, right? On 4th of July, I went out, and it was the day before, on the 3rd of July, on 2018, I woke up feeling good. And let me tell you something about these good days, man. I find through my journaling, every time that I had a good day, I always try to elevate that good day, right? I always try to make that day better. Those end up being my worst days of using and drinking. You know, those are the days I went out for weeks at a time. You know, those are the days I never called and checked on my family. Those are the days where I bought for the party and didn't once call and see if my house had eggs, milk, bread. I didn't see if they needed help with the phone bill. I wasn't worried about none of that, man. That's how sick I was. That's how bad this disease took over my mind. And as long as I was high or drunk, nothing mattered. Nothing mattered, man. You can't give me an inch because I'm an alcoholic addict, man. I'm going to take a mile. Just like that, man, I can't lie about that. I got to discover who I am, you know, and through the 12-step process, it helped me. It helped me tremendously, and it continues to help me every single day. You know, I was in the hospital there in 2018, probably for like 2 months. I went through 4 surgeries on my jaw. Made all these promises that the Big Book talks about, you know, I'm going to quit, and, you know, like I've been given a second chance. And I'm telling my family this, and at this time, I'm writing on a whiteboard because my jaw is wired. I can't talk. So I'm writing everything on a whiteboard, and I'm telling my dad, making all these promises, I'm never going to do this again. And at the time, my companion is pregnant with my daughter, you know, when I did this. And my daughter was born the same day I got out of the hospital, right? She was born before I got out of the hospital. Well, after all these promises I made, and I thought I meant it. And I could probably honestly tell you, I did mean it in a portion of my heart. You know, I really wanted to stay sober. The first thing I did when I got out of the hospital on my way from Fresno to Porterville to where my daughter was born, I stopped at the liquor store. I picked me up a bottle of whiskey. Without even thinking, I just went there and I grabbed it. Took that first drink, went in to see my daughter. I picked up my daughter for the first time, and I smelt the whiskey on my own breath. Talk about incomprehensible demoralization. Man, my world crumbled. And it really makes me emotional to this day, man. Like, my world crumbled, man. What the hell's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you? Well, what do alcoholics... I know what I do as an alcoholic addict when I'm hurting. I leave. I hand my baby over, I leave, and I take off, and I go straight to the liquor store. I pick up a bottle of whiskey, I pick up a case of beer. And next thing you know, I'm calling a dope man. You know, that's what I do, man. I don't know how to deal with life on life's terms. I don't even know the first step to take. There is no connection. I do not have a higher power at this time. I'm totally disconnected from the world, from myself, from everything. You know, and so that's what I did, man. And that continued for 3 years. After shooting myself, after putting that 38 snub nose under my chin and pulling the trigger in front of my dad. In front of my dad, man. A man that raised me. The man that did everything he could to give me a better life. You know? And I shot myself in front of him too. You know? Along with my nephew, my niece. You know? Like, and it's definitely something that I'm dealing with today. You know? I do go through a lot of... I guess they call it PTSD. I call it, you know, I get nightmares, wake up cold sweats, wake up disoriented sometimes. But you know what? Today, I'm not reaching for a bottle to deal with it. Today, I'm not crushing up a bunch of pills and putting them in a drink, you know, just to numb these feelings. I get to fill them out today. There's a reason why I'm feeling this, because I need to deal with it. You know, they told me when I first got in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because discovering our truth and being honest with ourselves is definitely uncomfortable. We don't want nobody to see the skeletons we have in our closet a lot of times. I know I didn't. I didn't want to tell nobody that I shot myself. I didn't want to tell nobody that I was molested. This is shit that I told myself I'd take to my grave, man. You know, and not only that, like just the violence, you know, that it leads to when you're under alcohol and influence of alcohol and drugs, man. You know, the stuff that keeps me locked up. That insanity of this disease, man. You know, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about the phenomenon of craving, right? And how this craving don't kick off until I put that first drink in. You know, and that makes sense, man, because before I'm finishing that first drink, I'm already on the phone with the dope man. You know, just like it's automatic, man. It's automatic. I have no choice. I have no free will. You know, like everything that I hold dear and believe in, or whatever belief system I have at this point, is totally out the window. You know, that there is no Oren. There's just a shell of a person that's trying to fill this hole inside of him that never gets filled. You know, I try to cover it up with substances, with alcohol, and it always comes to no avail, man. I always end up in the same desperate state of mind, man, not wanting to be here. Wanting to check out, you know, even after shooting myself, I don't know how many times I sat there with another pistol in my hand contemplating on maybe I could do this right this time. Insanity, man. Straight insanity. But you know what? I can't convince, just like nobody could convince me that I'm an alcoholic, that there's a problem, man. That's something that I need to come to terms with. That I have a problem. That I don't got things figured out. That I can't do this thing alone. That I need to ask another man for help when I don't like to be around men. You know, where I don't trust men. You know, and the big book tells me that I need to confide in a man of everything that I've been through. I don't want to tell another man where I've been, what I've been through. You know what I mean? But that's that pride. That's that ego. That's those skeletons in the closet that I got to get rid of that are going to turn into a resentment and they're going to make me drink. I know for a fact they are, man. You know, I've been dry before. Like, I've had abstinence. You know, I have abstained from alcohol for 2 years. It was the most miserable fuck 2 years of my life, man. Literally. On edge all the time. Restless, irritable, you know, discontent, definitely. You know, not happy with anything or anybody. Including myself. You know, mad at myself for anything that I did wrong. Because I'm a people pleaser, man. If I am pleasing people, then it starts to fuck with my head. If If I ain't pleasing my companion, if I ain't making her smile, if I ain't making her happy, it messes with my head. You know? And once that happens, when these thoughts and feelings come up, I go drink and use over them, man. That was my solution. You know, I was trying to cover up inside, you know, like trying to cover up my inside issues with the outside solution. You know, it definitely wouldn't work, man. You know, that's why they say I had to concede to my innermost self I need to find my truth. I need to find what keeps me drunk and high. You know, why do I do these things? Yeah, it could be part of it could be childhood trauma. You know, most definitely. The other part of it is I just don't want to deal with shit, man. I'm afraid. I'm definitely afraid, man. And that I'm not afraid to admit that today, man. I used to walk around. I used to tell people, can't nobody beat me but me. If I'm ever beat, that's because I allowed myself to be beat. Well, I'll tell you what, that day I pulled that early morning when I pulled that trigger, I tried to beat myself and it wasn't up to me. You know, that was his choice, not mine. He kept me here. Why? I like to think it's for this reason right here, man. I get to get up here and speak my truth and let you guys know, man, that my suicide, my alcoholism and drug addiction ran hand in hand. You know, I could definitely say if I was sober, I probably wouldn't have pulled that trigger. But it was just a little influence I needed to pull that trigger, man. I don't know how many times I sat up on top of a mountain with a whiskey bottle in one hand and a pistol in the other hand. You know, and I'll tell myself, I'm going to finish this bottle and then I'll do it. Well, I'll finish that bottle and I need to go get another one, you know, and it kept me from doing it for a while. It worked until it didn't work anymore. You know, just like with alcohol and drugs, it works until it didn't work anymore. And once it stopped working, it never worked again. You know, it never worked the same again. Shit got worse, it never got better. Ever. You know, and I get to see that today, man, because I'm that liar, that cheater, and that thief, man. I'm that low-down, dirty alcoholic that tells people what they want to hear, and I go do the opposite thing. You know, I sit here and borrow money from my family without no intention of returning that money. That's where that thievery comes in, man. I don't got to be out there stealing shit in order to be a thief. Man, I steal people's time. I steal people's patience. I steal people's hopes and dreams, especially my family. You know, because they want the best for me. And that's the people that I've hurt the most. My loved ones, right? I think it's all about me when I'm stuck in my addiction, right? And alcoholism. I think it's all about me, poor me, everything. You know, I like to say I got this big mug of I, self, and me, man. Today that's empty. You know, today that cup is empty. And the reason I empty it is so I could retain new knowledge, man. So I could learn how to live. Because how could I face the future, right? How could I face the future if I'm not willing to deal with my past? I ain't even willing to deal with where I've been in order to know where I need to go. You know, so I need to arm myself with these facts about who I was. You know, because I was one of those almost such unfortunates that didn't make it to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of them that are desperate to get here, but they don't know how. Or they're not willing to go through the process. And the process is laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a guide to a way of better living, but that's not the program. You can read that book front and back, and you can still go out and get drunk and loaded. But the program comes in the step work. You know, once you start doing those steps, man, you're part of the program. So if you just read the book and went through treatment and said, I completed AA, I'm done, you haven't even started the program because you ain't even working the steps. Amen. You know, what's the whole point of, I was told, what's the whole point of being in a 12-step program if you're not going to do the steps, man? It don't make sense. You know, it don't make sense. And today, you know, that's what I had to do, man. Once I heard that, something kicked in gear for me. You know, like, man, I'm going to die, dude. Like, I'm literally going to die, and I got 5 kids, man. Well, what kind of selfish individual is going to, and I'm talking about myself, you know, is going to drag himself in this pity party all down the road for everybody to see when they got kids that love them at home? You know, I can't see these things when I'm in my addiction, man. I can't see these things when I'm sick and suffering due to my own causes. Sick and suffering from my own way of living. Not because somebody did it to me. I did it to me. I'm the number one offender, man. I'm the number one offender that keeps holding on to shit that don't have nothing to do with life today. You know, all these things in my past that built up, you know, that I'm pissed off because my grandma passed away. I'm pissed off because auntie's passed away. I'm pissed off because my cousin passed away. You know, I'm pissed off because my little brother. I just lost a little brother the end of last year, man, to this disease. Did I pick up or use over it? No, I didn't. You know why? Because I surround myself with the program. You know, I got commitments. I got commitments in the program. Right? I do book studies. You know, like I get to chair meetings. I get to come speak at meetings. I get to find out, again, about me, man. Because they say this is it's a selfish program, right? But yet you got to be selfless. You know, like when they first told me, like, what kind of shit is that, bro? You know what I mean? That don't even make sense. You know what I mean? But no, that's this that wasn't making the sense. I couldn't process what they were talking about. Why? Because I was still cloudy, man. I was still cloudy. It took about like 6 months for me to start actually picking some of these tools up, man. You know, I like to say that I put down the weapons and I picked up the tools, man. You know, and those weapons were what I was hurting myself with. You know, all this pride, ego, self-centeredness, everything that I held dear and near to me. You know, like, because it definitely wasn't my loved ones. I didn't even have a higher power to believe in. Man, how could I believe in myself? And I would hold other people accountable for their actions, but I wouldn't hold myself accountable for my own. You know, I would sit there and say, it's all because of this person that I'm like this, or that person, right? But the whole time, it's all me, man. I just can't tell the truth from the false. I start believing in the own lies that I tell myself. You know, I'm lying to myself and I'm believing it 100%, and I'm convincing you to believe my bullshit. And a lot of times, as alcoholics, addicts, we think that. We think we are, and sometimes, in some cases, we do convince these people that we're telling the truth. You know, and that's why I said we become that liar, that cheater, and that thief, man. We become that person that we never wanted to be. You know, so when I joined the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I told myself, you got to be all in. You know, when have you ever been fucking, excuse my language, but when have you ever been half-assed? You told me, hey, let's go drink a party. I'm all in. You know, hey, bro, let's go get a set. I'm all in. You know, like, I never want, oh, I don't know, I think about bullshit, bro. I was in, man, even if I didn't have the money, I'm in. You know, like, I'm there, you know what I mean? So within my alcohol and drug addiction, within the program of alcoholics, I gotta be all in, man. I don't just gotta be all in, I gotta be 110% in, man, because 100% ain't enough. You know, I just reading the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous ain't enough for an alcoholic of my type. Just, you know, doing the 12-step process is not enough. You know, just getting through the 12 steps ain't enough to keep me sober. Just coming to meetings, it's a collective of all these things that I have to do on a daily basis. I have to stay connected every single day if I want to live today. Again, I can't tell you what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know, man. I don't know those answers. I don't got a crystal ball in front of me telling me what's going to happen. You know, so I got to trust and believe in my higher power. And know that He's going to guide me. You know, I'm at peace today, man. Today I found a peace that I had to reach back to about seven or 6 years old, a camping trip that me and my dad, my mom, my brother, and my sister took up the hill. Stayed up there at camp. One of the most best feelings of my life. One of my most cherished memories. That's how far I used to have to reach back to find happiness. To find some sense, some essence of goodness in the world. That's how far I would have to go back to about 6, 7 years old. Today I get to live it every day I wake up, man. Today I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I have a higher power. I'm grateful for that bottom. That bottom that I hit. That shook me up, man. That shook me to my core. And told me, you got a fucking problem, man. You know, you got a problem. And I listened to that. For once, I listened to that. Because I got tired, man. I got tired of living life on my terms. I got tired of placing conditions on the love I showed people. You know, like, and expected them to love me back. How could I expect somebody to love me if I don't even love myself, man? I don't even love myself. How do I expect everybody else to love me? How do I place conditions on how you treat me when I treat myself like shit? You know, when I try to kill myself on a daily basis by pumping my body full of all this poison.
You know, not just, like, again, drugs is a big part of my story, but I understand this is an AA meeting, so I'll try to stay away from it as much. But that's my truth, right? That's where these things take me, man. I can't just have one. You know, and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that. And I believe that today. You know, the Big Book, it teaches me how to have emotional sobriety, man. You know, my emotions don't my emotions don't tell me what to do today. You know, my emotions used to run my life, man. My emotions got me drunk, high, loaded more times than I could count. Whether I wanted it or not. You know, it didn't matter. Well, I didn't have a choice. I had no choice, man. It was automatic. I'd wake up in the morning, go out to the hay where I feed my horses every morning, wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go pull that whiskey bottle out of the haystack, take that first drink. In order for me to get going. Just so I could start moving around a little bit, man. And at this time, I'm barely 36 years old. You know, like, I feel shot out, man. You know, vulnerable. You know? Just vulnerable all the way around, man. And not only that, my mind starts deteriorating. I start forgetting shit. You know, like, what the hell? What is all that? I'm barely 36 years old, man. What the hell's going on? Well, it's all that poison I'm putting in my body. But I couldn't see it, right? I couldn't see that until I checked myself into detox. You know, my bottom was on the February 2nd of 2021. I went out and went down the store to get some stuff to barbecue. Picked up a bottle of whiskey. Before I came back up the hill, I was like, man, this bottle ain't going to last me. So I turned around and go pick up another one, right? So I go back up, I get there, I start the fire, damn, my bottle's out. Let me cook half of this meat real quick, and then I'm going to run back down there and grab another one. Well, I never made it home, you know. I was gone all night. Came in that next morning, kicked my own door in, busted my own window out. For what? I can't even tell you for what. I don't know for what. All I know is that I woke up on my dad's couch with no shirt, no shoes on, wondering how the hell I got there. No truck. I don't know where my truck was at. I was wondering what the hell happened. He's like, I don't know, son. You were tripping out. You know, like you were tripping out. You showed up like this. You know, and it hit me, man. Like my kids were on the other side of that door. My kids were on the other side of that window. One of them was sleeping on the couch right below that window that I broke out. You know, if one of those pieces of glasses would have hit my, there would have been no get backs, man. There would have been no get backs for someone like me. You know, I couldn't tell you what I would have done, but I wouldn't be here. That's for damn sure. You know, so that day, I went to I called a drug and alcohol coordinator from my reservation there, and I said, I need help, you know. I don't know what to do. You know, I need some help. She was like, well, come in, and we'll make some phone calls, see if we can get you a bed somewhere. Well, she made two phone calls. The second phone call happened to be Pine. And, you know, Dave said, if you can make it here in 2 hours, the bed's yours. So I had a bottle of whiskey for me for after the meeting, right? For after the meeting, because I can't do this shit sober, right? So I had a bottle of whiskey for me at the end of the meeting, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to drink that after the meeting. Well, when he said 2 hours, I'm like, fuck, that ain't enough time to drink a couple bottles of whiskey, you know? Like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to show up. If I drink this bottle, I'm not going to go. You know, and that's just facts, and I knew that. So I went to my dad and I told my dad, hey dad, I said, they got me in the program, but I gotta go. I just gotta pack a bag and I gotta go. He's like, all right, well, you know what to do. So I handed him that bottle of whiskey, you know. Handed him that bottle of whiskey and I walked out the door, man, and that's when my journey of sobriety began, you know. That 6 days in detox, man, where I finally hit my knees and I cried. I cried for about probably 4 or 5 hours straight, man. I cried so much, my eyes were swollen, my eyes, they were raw just from the tears, you know, like, and I didn't even know what the hell I was crying about. You know, I think I knew what I was crying about, but I didn't know. You know, I just knew I didn't feel good, man. I was hurt. I was ashamed. Everything. You know, I couldn't understand how the hell did I get here, man. I fought Wildland Fire for 10 years, made a career out of it, and fucked it up over alcohol and drugs. You know, I had other opportunities where I was making good money working, threw it all away for alcohol and drugs. You know, made a lot of money, Don't have a damn thing. I didn't have a damn thing to show for it. At all, man. At all. Why? Because of alcohol and drugs. Because I didn't have a choice. And you know what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous gives me today? It gives me a choice. Today I got a choice. I don't need to pick up. I have a choice to chase these thoughts, chase these feelings to that bitter end, or do the right thing and man up and take responsibility for my part in every single thing that went wrong in my life. You know, I had, the fact of the matter is, you know, I tell people I had to shoot myself, man. You know, and I don't mean this mean to sound cynical or anything, but I had to shoot myself because I was homicidal and suicidal. Luckily for me, suicide was closer than homicide because I could have killed anybody, man. I could have shot my kid's mom. I could have shot my own dad. That's how fucked up I was, man. That's how fucked up I was. You know, so I had to shoot myself. I had to shoot myself in order to save somebody else, man, because I was definitely, at least, man, I definitely had people that I wanted to shoot. And I didn't even know why. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I didn't even know why, bro. Like, that's how fucking insane I was, man. But that's where alcohol and drugs takes me, man. That's my truth. You know, and today I don't got to do that. You know, today I don't got to chase my thoughts and my feelings. I can't control my feelings. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that. I can't control my feelings, man, my thoughts. I mean, thoughts are going to pop up. I'm an alcoholic addict, man. Drink's going to pop up in my thoughts. You know, when I'm having a bad day, it's going to pop up, man. You know what? Ice cold beer sounds good. What the hell? You know, like, but the difference is today, I don't feed off that thought or feeling. I don't chase that thought or feeling. I let it go, man. It's like a little bubble. If it stays a bubble and floats away from me, the safer I am. But once I pop that bubble and grab it, then I'm in trouble, man, because that's me taking my will back. I'm trying to take my will back, and my will kill me. Most definitely. And I know that for a fact, man. I know that with every fiber of my being, that the next time I use or drink, I ain't going to make it back to these rooms. You know, like, this is the end of the road, man. This is the last house on the block. You know, like, I need to do this or I'm going to die. I need to continue to work my sobriety and chase my sobriety like I did the alcohol and that bag, man. You know, I got to want it. You know, and I got to make that decision that this is who I am and this is what I need to do. Because nobody could convince me. Nobody could tell me a damn thing. You know, I need to tell myself. Yeah, I could be put through the ringer so many times, and as a lesson. Look, this is where it leads. This is where it leads. But am I going to listen? Probably not, man. You know, because I'm hard headed. You know, I'm hard headed, man. I got to learn the hard way. And today I'm tired. I'm tired of struggling, man. You know, just sick and tired. That whole sick and tired being sick and tired. That's where I found myself. You know, and today I don't got to complicate shit, man. I get to take it one day at a time. One moment at a time. I could restart my day at any time. If I wake up in a good mood and something happens, somebody pisses me off, I get restless, irritable, and discontent. Well, maybe I need to go back and write about that. And then I pray and I ask it to be taken away. You know, and it happens. I could restart my day at any time, man. Any time. You know, that car that cuts you off when you're coming down to a meeting, you're like, oh, hey, what are you doing? You know, like, and these are things that I deal with on a daily basis. Because I'm still prideful. You know, I'm still very prideful, man. And I caught myself, you know, in the grocery store seeing somebody I didn't get along with, right? And first thing I did was stand up straight, put my chest out, right? What the fuck's wrong with you, man? And then I told myself, what's wrong with you, bro? You know, what's wrong with you? That's neither here nor there, man. Like, it don't matter. What my past is, man, what matters is how I'm living today. How am I living today in this moment? You know, am I doing what's right? Am I helping people that need to be helped? Am I staying away from people, places, and things that will cause me to use and drink? You know, what am I doing to better my life, or what am I doing to better somebody else's life? You know, by me flexing up on somebody, that ain't making nobody's life better. How do I know that person ain't just having a bad day? He's just looking mean because he's having it bad, man. He's got it rough. I don't know what that man's going through. Why don't I just say hello and try to shake a man's hand versus looking at him like, hey, what the fuck are you looking at, bro? You know what I mean? And that's how it would normally be. That's why I say, like,
My thoughts and feelings don't reflect who I am today. You know, I can have thoughts and feelings, but I don't allow them to take me out of this Zen moment, man. This peacefulness that I feel. Like I said, they're going to come up. They're going to show up, man. These old habits and old thought processes are definitely going to pop up. But today, with my Creator's guidance, man, I'm able to drive around it, man. I get to drive around it. I don't get to hop on that train, man, that takes me wherever, that crazy train, I like to call it, that takes me to wherever destination it's going to. I don't get on. I let it go by. You know, and as long as I don't grab on or jump in, I'm good. But it takes work, man. The 12-step process is the only thing that's been able to help me. Why? Because it shows me how to be accountable. It shows me how to take responsibility in my life. It shows me how to be grateful for every single thing I've been through, man. Because without everything I've been through, I wouldn't be here. You know, it took a combination of every single hardship that I went through as an adult, as an alcoholic, and as an addict to get me to this point. You know, I did an 8-month intensive treatment program out in Long Beach back in 2006, 2005, and I didn't get it. You know, I got a certificate that said you graduated, you know. And what did that tell me? Oh, you did it, right? You graduated, right on. Now you can drink like a gentleman, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I went back there and I did it all again, man. I did it all again, you know. And eventually it caused me to shoot myself, you know what I mean? And that's just facts, man. You know, that's where my disease takes me. And I come up here and I share my truth in hopes that, you know, any of you out there suffering or having these doubts or anything like that could learn from my experience that I just shared with you. You know, I tell my truth so that maybe some of you guys don't have to live my truth. You know, because a lot of us don't make it back, man. A lot of us don't make it to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of us die out there on the streets. A lot of us die in car accidents, you know. And, yeah, man, I love this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. It's definitely given me a better life. It's definitely showed me how to live and how to be accountable today. Just today. That simple, right? That simple. Yeah, there's things I got to do tomorrow, the next day, but I'm not going to worry about it, man. I know it's there. I know what I got to do. I'll deal with it tomorrow. You know? Simple, man. Simple program for complicated people, right? Because as an alcoholic addict, man, I complicate the shit out of everything. You know, like there's two screws to change out a doorknob. I could fuck that whole process up, man. You know, I'll be stripping screws, stripping bolts, you know, and wondering what happened. Why? Because I'm trying to do it my way. I don't want to look at the instructions. Well, that's what the big book is, man. It's instructions. It's a guide to a way of better living. And if I want to live a better life, if I want to live a life that's worth living today, I need to pick up that book, man, and I need to start working these steps. I need to get busy, man. I need to work for this sobriety because my Creator, He will guide me, but He's not gonna do the work for me. I need to have some affirmative action, man. I need to work these steps because my life does depend on it. I need to do the work. You know, He's not gonna just pluck me out of a problem. He's gonna give me situations. He don't give me solution today. He gives me situations where I get to find that solution because I got a spiritual kit today with spiritual tools that I'm able to work, that I'm able to utilize. One of my biggest tools is a flashlight. Man, like to say, I got a flashlight in my toolbox, man. That flashlight is so I could go back into these dark moments and I could find out what the hell went wrong. And I don't got to be afraid because I got a flashlight. I could come back out of there. I don't need to get stuck in there, man. That flashlight's AA. They give me that tool, man. They give me that tool to look back on my past and find my truth. Because without finding my truth, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. If I ain't willing to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm that real alcoholic addict, I'm going to die. And you know what? I wanted to die so many times in my life. Today, I want to live, man. And I'm happy with living. You know, I'm content. You know, like I stopped looking for everybody else to make me happy. And I found out what made me happy in here, man. And I get to be happy for me. Because by me being happy for me, then I could be happy for my kids. But it starts with me. How could I love kids when I don't even love myself? You know, how could I help people in the program if I ain't helping myself? You know, and I'm gonna wrap it up here.
Probably within another couple weeks, I'm starting. I've been blessed, man. I'm not saying this is bragging or boast, but this is how far I've came. You know, like I'm going to be taking some classes for alcohol and substance abuse counselor. You know, and this is all due to my higher power, man. This is all due to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. The program told me that we do recover. You know, we do recover from a seemingly hopeless and helpless state of mind. You know, that spiritual malady, that spiritual disconnection, man, we do recover from it. You know, like, I can't tell you how my Creator, God, or however you choose to call Him, you know, I can't tell you how He works. I can't tell you the way He looks. I can't describe Him, man. But you know what? He can be experienced if you're willing. He could definitely be experienced as long as you're willing to accept Him, man. So, I'm going to end with this. You know, I'm Native American, and in my culture, man, when somebody passes away, we light a fire for that person. That fire stays lit until that person goes in the ground. You know, today there's a spiritual fire going inside me. You know, and that's my sobriety. And as long as I could keep that fire lit until I go in the ground, then I accomplish this journey called sobriety, man. But right, how do I keep a fire lit? I got to split that wood. I got to do the work, man. I got to keep that fire lit. And with my Creator's blessings, I'll do it, you know. Love you guys. I'm going to continue work for the rest of this 24. Thank you.